I grew up in a small town in western North Dakota, out in cowboy country near the Badlands, rolling hills. It was kind of an idyllic sort of place right by the river. My dad ran the grain elevator, and that's where I grew up. I, you know, was in sports, you know, was in football. But by the time I was a junior, I'd met a few people, and a friend of mine said, "I'm going to start a rock band. I hear you play the piano." I said, "Well, yeah, I do." So I quit the football team, pissed off my coach, and I joined a rock band.
He played the piano and the organ and wrote most of the music, and that's how he made his living. Bands would travel on like rock circuits and they would go from town to town. It was just kind of that musician lifestyle where it was just kind of hanging out and writing songs. For musicians, they were really doing well.
I made a lot of money and I had a good time.
Jim's rock and roll lifestyle cut a stark contrast with his quiet North Dakotan upbringing. But his life was about to change even more dramatically than that. The U.S. was at war, and like many young men of that time period, Jim's name was about to be called.
I forgot to go to a few classes.
At the time, you know, that was a really big deal, particularly being somebody who's involved in the arts and was living this life that was, you know, bigger than life and, oh, you know, we're touring and it's rock and roll. I imagine that it was pretty scary.
I was in Canada when they tracked me down. My agent walked into my hotel room, kicked the bed and said, "You son of a bitch, you've been drafted. You've got 4 days to get back to Dickinson, North Dakota, or else they're going to send the police for you as a draft dodger." I said, "Well, I didn't know." So I immediately went back, got on the bus, went to Fort Lewis, Washington. Then shortly thereafter, I was in Vietnam.
You know, my dad walked point in the jungle for 3 months, maybe a little longer than that. And you know, walking point means if there's landmines, you go first. And then he came back and they were on a resting point.
We'd been in the bush for, you know, 3.5 months. We'd been in the jungle, you know, for that long. I mean, we wanted a vacation. But in the evenings, I'd go to the club and I'd play the piano. By several strokes of luck, with a long story, but I got into the 101st Airborne Rock Band, and then I entertained troops for the rest of my stay there.
I mean, they were doing, like, the songs that were popular at the time. I mean, I know that they did songs that made people feel like they were at home, and my dad was awesome at it. I think that that was also a big moment for him, just to then be having his skills that he developed in North Dakota as a musician. Now you're doing that for the troops, that's a huge honor.
Some people just feel at home on a stage, at ease when all the eyes in the room are on them. Jim had that gift, and in the years following the war, he put it to good use. Starting with the rock and roll stage and going all the way through the theater, Jim was always putting on a show.
In the meantime, I started doing voice work on the side to support my growing family. And I really didn't think much about it. It was just, oh, well, this is easy. I'd always been one of these people that could just read something very quickly and know how to do it, know how to say it. I don't know why. I realized I started doing more voice work. And about that time decided, well, you know, I need to maybe give this voice work a little bit more attention. So I turned down the contract at Missouri Repertory Theater for the season. And all of a sudden, I was doing lots of voice work.
Chief's Kingdom is brought to you by Farmland, passion for pork since 1959. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And the University of Kansas Hospital, the official health care provider of the Chiefs.
As a beginner, and I would say this to anybody in the arts, and I consider announcing an art, what you do is you learn from the masters. when I first started doing voice work, I was an actor. I was a kind of a pompous actor, you know. I do Shakespeare. But I remember one of my very first sessions as a voice guy. It was a Father's Day spot. I'm playing the dad in a radio spot. We do take after take, and the only guy that screwed up was me. The announcer would read 20 seconds worth of copy like that. Sound perfect every time. I'm sitting there going, okay, I have a lot to learn here. I remember that day. I went home and I started reading copy out of magazines out loud to myself at different tempos and different speeds, different ways. Then I started just reading newspaper out loud, everything out loud, reading it in different inflections, different styles of voice. And then I started watching television. I didn't start watching the TV for the shows. I was listening to the commercials. You start imitating the masters. You can never be them because they are unique to themselves. But there are little pieces that you take from each one. And then slowly, you find your own voice.
When it comes to making toasted subs, Sunday night at 9 on GSPN welcomes you from the financial capital of the world. Dennis Miller Live. Comedy at the
Tonight,
speed.
Spend some time with
Don't
you.
Miss one of the years.
Starts Friday, February 1st on HBO.
Executive producer Robert Redford.
211th presentation.
Jimmy Fallon. 81 3 Pepper Chili Sauce. On
First in business worldwide.
Oh, I was the voice of lots of things. I was the voice of Walmart for a long time. I was the voice of Blockbuster Video. I became the voice of the Hallmark Hall of Fame in 1988. The Payless Cashways. If you even remember Payless Cashways, I was the voice of lots of commercials.
In just a short time, Jim Bertzsall's voice had been heard around the world. From voicing commercials to movie trailers, he had done almost everything. But every voice talent is always looking for a home, a chance to be a brand or network signature voice. In 1998, Jim jumped to Wall Street, to the world leader in business news.
At CNBC, we're here to help people through the market. The market is a scary place sometimes. It's a happy place other times, and lots of times it's somewhere in between. The voices that we have on the air, our talent, the best financial journalists in the world, are the voices that we have on most of the day. And those are the voices that our viewers have come to trust.
Halftime's over. The second half of your trading day begins now.
Thanks very much, Scott and the guys.
Jim Bertzsall is another one of those voices that is not the voice that they ever see, but it's the voice that they hear first thing in the morning at Squawk Box. The markets are open. This is what we're looking at today. That's the first voice that you hear in the mornings. It's one of the last voices that the CNBC viewer hears at the end of Mad Money.
Coming up on Mad Money.
Jim does all the voice work for our promos for CNBC Business Day.
First in business worldwide, this is CNBC.
But he is also firmly entrenched in some of these shows.
A CNBC exclusive, Squawk in the Street, today, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Jim Bertzsall has to wear many hats. Sometimes he's the voice of reason.
Tonight, it's President Obama's second inaugural address.
Sometimes he's the voice of God. He's the voice of humor. He's there for whatever we need him to be, and you're impressed every day with his range.
Up next on Squawk Box, don't start your day without knowing the names that will make you money.
And then he'll go into a much larger bravado, if you will, for a show like Mad Money.
Is the worst behind this fast food titan? Or could it still get fried?
For any television network, when you are looking for a voice to represent you, you want somebody who is distinctive and can carry your brand no matter what type of a network you are. To have Jim bring that amount of gravitas, if you will, to the role is important for us.
Jim's range as a voice talent made him perfect for the gauntlet of wall-to-wall business news coverage at CNBC. But it had become apparent that his range extended even further than that.
I had a call from my agent who said to me, he says, well, they're having auditions for NFL films. Are you interested in that? I said, well, absolutely. NFL films. It's NFL films, for goodness sake.
When people think of NFL films, I think they think of really three things. incredible work by our cameramen capturing what happens on the field and on the sidelines. They think of the music, and they think of the voices.
You have to have a voice that cuts through, a voice with authority and clarity and power and believability.
If you don't have the right voice, sure, the music's going to be great, and the footage is always going to be great. But if you have the wrong voice, it won't be the perfect marriage.
You need to have a voice like Jim Birdsall.
The Chiefs share a unique bond with the people of Kansas City. It's a deeply passionate connection. They also share a focus on returning the franchise to the top of the National Football League.
I think the first time that I worked with Jim was, I think it was the 2001 Chiefs highlight film. Dick Vermeil had just been hired to be the new head coach. He had come out of retirement to take the job. Defense! But there really wasn't even any question as to who was going to narrate that film.
Well, I always had great pride in doing the Kansas City Chiefs because it was my team.
It's really unique that the Chiefs have a narrator do their highlight film who is actually not only just a fan of the team, which is unique enough, but he's been a season ticket holder with the Chiefs for over 20 years.
He's really proud to be, I think, in the city and get to do that for the Chiefs, you know. I mean, that's a huge deal.
I, of course, do other teams, too, and I have pride in them. But when I do the Chiefs, I'm more proud.
You couldn't have scripted it better than to have loyal Chiefs fan Jim Birdsall voice the highlights of his favorite team for NFL Films. And something about that just seems right. Whether as a rock star, a soldier, an actor, or a voice talent, Jim Birdsall's always been able to find his way.
When I look back on my career as a performer, an announcer, an actor, a musician, it isn't so much, do I have a great voice? Do I have this? Am I a great actor? Am I a great musician? Am I a great athlete? There's lots of people with talent. Lots of people with skill. When I look back, I always look back and say, I'm just very thankful. Voiceover people like myself, we are invisible people. Generally, I see no one. I talk to people on the phone and through my earphones. There are many producers, and I mean many producers that I've worked with for years that I've never met in person. It's a bizarre way to work.
After this many years of Jim Birdsall really being an important part of our show on a daily basis, no one on my team has ever met Jim.
I don't know what Jim Birdsall looks like. If he was in the room right now, I wouldn't know he was. Unless, of course, he started to talk, and then I would immediately know, hey, there's Jim Birdsall.
Rob. No, hey. How you guys doing? Oh, okay, well, you guys ready to go? Okay.
The very day that he narrates, maybe the day before, I email him a script, and he replies that he got it, and away we go.
Andy Reid and John Dorsey bring championship pedigrees to a burgeoning team, stocked with Pro Bowl talent. As the entire Chiefs organization prepares for a brighter future, they do so knowing they can continue to rely on Dwayne Bowe.
How is that? No, okay. No, I'll give you one more, a different way.
Usually he'll read each line twice.
In each one, different. In speed, in intent, inflective choices.
And we'll go through the whole script that way.
Andy Reid and John Dorsey bring championship pedigrees to a burgeoning team.
Of course, I get to have conversations with him before and after he reads the script, and the whole time we're talking about the Chiefs.
Hey, how you guys doing? Yeah. No, I'm really excited about it. I think he was the right choice.
All the things that just any old fan would have a conversation about, except then it's time to go and he reads the script for the highlight film, even though he's a season ticket holder and a big Chiefs fan.
I never get to see the product until it runs on television or I buy the DVD, which I had to do for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Jim's loyalty to his team is not limited to highlights and DVDs. His ties to the Chiefs go much deeper than that.
Bought my first Chiefs season tickets, 1986. It was during a downtime for the Chiefs, and I had a real good choice of seats. And I've had the same seats for 25 years, four rows behind the Chiefs bench, right around the 30-yard line.
Charles gets wide, one defender, now two, at the 45, breaks it left, downfield block, Avery.
We've been privy to all of the ups and downs of the Kansas City Chiefs through our living room. I mean, sometimes there were people over and sometimes there weren't. It didn't matter, but the game was on and we were not really allowed to go in the room.
I'm not a fanatic, although my daughters can tell when the Chiefs lose because I'm depressed.
As I learned as I got older, if I wanted to like go out or like get something and the Chiefs lost, I didn't ask that day because it was not a good day in the house.
It's an addiction. I can't help it. And I don't want to go through a 12-step program to cure it. I live here. This is my team. Enough said.
Chiefs Kingdom is brought to you by Farmland. Passion for pork since 1959. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And the University of Kansas Hospital, the official healthcare provider of the Chiefs. The Chiefs Kingdom is a symphony of moments, images, connections, and each snapshot tells a story of her adventure. Over the years, Jim Birdsall has made his mark voicing team highlights for NFL films. As the 2013 Kansas City Chiefs continue to write their story, you can be sure their highlight will be one to remember.
The 2013 Kansas City Chiefs were an improbable phenomenon. A veteran group, rich in talent, hungry for success, and rejuvenated by their new leader's passion and resolve. They performed the greatest single-season turnaround in the history of the NFL, silencing critics every step of the way.
They don't want to see us right now. They don't want to see us right
it's
now.
It's up to us
to keep this rolling.
Boys ain't ready to see us. They ain't got their mind right
now. Set the tone right now for the
right
whole day.
Y'all boys ready.
Hell yeah.
Y'all boys ready.
Hell yeah.
Focus.
Nothing would stop them from reaching their goal.
Toss power trap.